proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through again today. We're going to do something hyper-local, and hyper-local means something that is happening in central Iowa. We're going to be talking about a Senate race, Iowa State Senate race. And this is in Senate District 10. We'll give you the geography of that in just a moment. And our guest is Warren Varley. Warren is an attorney. He lives in Stuart, Iowa. I'm familiar with Stuart. Great little town. Nice people. And we're going to talk a little bit about him and his Senate race. Warren, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're making the time to do this. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Am I correct? You're an attorney by trade?
I'm an attorney and farmer. I always mention farmer first because I'm a fifth-generation farmer. And
really?
I live on the farm that I grew up on and here in Adair and Guthrie counties. And it's where my wife, Karen, and I raised our four children.
Corn and beans or cat? What do you do?
A lot of cattle. And yeah. We've had a variety of livestock, less so now that the children are all grown and off the farm. But
Well, that takes a little extra work.
You bet. Yeah, but it's good therapy.
It is good therapy. You know, I just as a fun aside, when I was on the farm, I figured it took me a little more than an hour to feed the cattle, the horses, make sure the cows were milked, and you know, do all the stuff that you have to do on a very diversified farm. And I find now that we have five rescue dogs within our house and a parrot, it takes me almost an hour to get all that kind of stuff done as well. So, you know, it's no different.
That's right. There's a minimum requirement.
That's exactly right. So you're in Senate District 10. Give us the geography of that, would you, Warren?
Sure. Well, it's all of Adair and Guthrie counties. It's almost all of Dallas County, except for the southeast corner. Clive and West Des Moines and Waukee are not included, but all the rest of Dallas County, a little bit of Polk County, Polk City and Sheldahl, and the northeast quarter of Cass County. So it
wow.
reaches from the Dallas County portion of Urbandale all the way down to Greenfield and Guthrie Center and through Perry and Adel. And
well, you know, and that surprises me a little bit because, I mean, I know where Stuart is. Stuart is out west quite a ways. And then you're also Polk City, which is up north.
Right. It's a large geographic area, and it's also population heavy because of the growth that's occurred in Dallas County and the rest of the Western Golden Circle.
There's, sure.
Most Senate districts have about 30 to 35,000 registered voters, and this district has over 48,000 registered voters.
It's a big district. Big district, not only geographically, but also in population. Warren Varley, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is running for the Iowa State Senate and Senate District 10. You just heard the geography about that. Well, as a farmer and as an attorney, which is both two very interesting professions, Warren, you bring the practical side, I would imagine, to lots of issues that you're concerned about. A studied and practical side. Would that be pretty accurate?
Well, I'm passionate about rural development. That's something I've been involved in throughout my career as an attorney, and I'm very proud of the businesses and nonprofits that I've had a hand in fostering, and proud of the successes that we've had in this area of the state.
When we talk about economic development, there's so many things that go into that, and there's so much that's necessary to be done in Iowa, and we're talking about roads and bridges and the broadband internet and connectivity with small businesses and all of those things. And I have a very good friend that her specialization, Deb Brown is her name, and her specialization is traveling all over the United States, actually, and assisting cities or small towns really invest in themselves for the long term. And to find those hidden gems that are in those communities. Rural Iowa, and again, you've lots of rural towns in your Senate district. What's important to you when we talk about economic development?
Well, rural development's really important because we've seen a loss of population and an increase in poverty. So when I look at economic development in the area that I hope to represent, I look at three things. First of all, workforce. And the big impediment there has been housing. And we've undertaken efforts in the Stewart area to encourage affordable housing and been able to add over 130 housing units in the last 5 years. This isn't subsidized housing or low-income housing. These are primarily individual family homes that we've been able to help developers by providing free lots, by putting the infrastructure in with the tax increment financing, and duplexes that make for more affordable housing. The other thing we look at in terms of developing workforce is education. Iowa, for a number of years now, has really been short of middle skills workers. And those are the workers now that in the face of the pandemic, we characterize as essential workers. Mm-hmm. And so we need to focus on getting opportunities for them. And a big way to do that is to help out our community colleges. And I'm not running as a partisan candidate, but I am running on the Democratic ticket. And historically, the Democratic Party has been the party that has stood up for funding for community colleges. We also have to make our 4 years degrees affordable. And we've seen a big shift in my lifetime from the state providing three quarters of the cost of tuition for in-state residents to now only providing 25%. And that's a very dangerous thing. We need to keep education affordable if we want a educated and skilled workforce.
You know, to come back on that just a bit, Warren Varley, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Warren, one of the stories that we had not too very long ago in the NewsHour was the ballooning of administrative staff at not only community colleges, but also four-year universities. And the utilization of adjunct faculty, it would seem, this is just a layman out here that reports on the news on a regular basis, it would seem that there's so much budget that is going into administration and less opportunity for students. Any comment on that?
Well, I definitely think we need to, in terms of public financing, look at what's going to benefit our students, because that's why we have those structures in place. But what you're seeing is also a symptom of the loss of bargaining power that our essential workers, and I would include teachers at the top of that list. We what we invest in education is what we reap benefits from a generation down the road. It's like, I run a small business here, a couple of small businesses, the farm and the law practice. And anybody who's run a business knows that you can't make money without spending money. You have to spend it wisely. But too much of the focus of the current Republican trifecta has been to reduce taxes on people who can, frankly, afford to pay taxes and at the same time reduce the bargaining power of our workers throughout the state. And that results in the shifts that you see in terms of more money going to management and less going to the frontline workers.
Well, we see that quite a bit. And we just had news that former governor and current ambassador Terry Branstad is leaving his post in China, which is interesting. I'll never forget when we talk about tax shifting, and one of the things that I'll not forget, I think it was 2012, where the governor, then Governor Branstad, convinced the Democrats that a tax reduction for commercial property was going to be a really good thing, because it was going to benefit individuals who were low-income folks because their rents would go down. And Democrats voted for that. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. The taxes on commercial property did go down significantly, but the rents stayed the same.
Restructuring property taxes is not something that I would also support. I think where we're really seeing problems is doing things like the research and development tax credits. We have large corporations that and our wonderful state treasurer Michael Fitzgerald says it pains him to write these multi-million dollar checks to large corporations that could be afford to be contributing to what we have going on here in Iowa, and instead he's writing multi-million dollar refund checks to them because they're refundable credits.
Warren, I want you to flesh that out a little bit, because I don't think a lot of people understand what you're talking about. This research and development opportunity that has been part of what's been going on in Iowa for a very long time now really targeted at one time, I think, to small businesses. What's happened?
Well, it's a symptom of a broader problem. I'm very familiar with tax credits because in my development work, we rely on tax credits for things like restoring the All Saints Catholic Church. We use federal and state historic restoration tax credits. And of course, that was restored by a nonprofit that didn't pay any taxes. So we didn't need those tax credits. What we did is turned around and sold them to a large corporation or investor like Apple Computers so that they can avoid paying income tax. And essentially what the Republicans are doing is they're spending money while accusing the Democrats of spending money, but they're doing it with tax credits. So it's kind of under the table, and it looks like they're cutting taxes. But in fact, what they're doing is taking monies out of the state coffers that should be going to support our infrastructure. And infrastructure is number two on my list of economic development things that are critical, especially in rural Iowa. But, it's diverting those dollars away. And there's transaction costs with that because, you've got to pay large out-of-state law firms to do the jump through all the hoops that you have to do to avoid the protections that were meant to prevent this from happening. But essentially what happens is these tax credits get sold if they can't be used by the entity that has them. But the other problem with the research and development tax credit is, we've stopped funding research at places like Iowa State and University of Iowa on basic research, which is what leads to innovation and startups. And you've probably heard the statistic that 80% of our jobs come from small businesses and retention and expansion of existing businesses rather than landing these really big industry players. And the other thing is to get back to infrastructure. Apple got a big chunk of tax credits for locating their server farm in Dallas County, which is wonderful. But then when Tim Cook came to the CEO of Apple, came to the groundbreaking, he said, well, thank you very much for the tax credits. But the reason we came here is because of your low utility rates and because it's clean energy.
And no earthquakes.
there are other advantages. But what I'm saying is the way to attract those businesses is by providing things like low utility rates and clean energy. And the other thing is that you touched on is infrastructure. And that certainly includes the information highway, high-speed internet, 5G technology. We need to have that in place if people who want to live in rural Iowa now that they can work remotely, but they have to have access to what is a necessary utility now, which is broadband.
It is.
And and traditional infrastructure as well. You know, our roads and bridges, our railroads, our locks and dams, too much of that has been ignored to our detriment. We can go very quickly from being a first world country to being a third world country if we decide we're just going to cash in our chips and give everybody tax refunds and not invest for the future. So
we're talking with Warren Varley, ladies and gentlemen. He's a candidate for Senate District 10, a very large swath of land in multiple counties, multiple small towns, and part of Dallas County as well. So economic development, we talk about.
I want to mention one more thing.
Yeah.
And before we run out of time, is the third thing that is really critical for rural development, economic and otherwise, is a quality of life. And we've done a lot of good things in terms of encouraging community attractions and tourism. And a lot of people don't appreciate how important tourism is. And it's easy to forget about during this time of pandemic. But we have lots of scenic beauty. We're a bicycle attraction because of Ragbri, and have lots of opportunities there. So, you know, in terms of attracting workforce, you know, we have to have housing, we have to have good education. You know, my wife and I finished graduate school. We were encouraged to go to the coast for opportunities, but we wanted to come back to Iowa to raise our children here because of the quality of education. And increasingly with the current generation, they decide where to live, not because of where the job is, but right, because of where the quality of life is. So,
and all of those things that you just mentioned, Warren, do point back to having the infrastructure available. If, for example, you live in Stuart, Iowa, or we talk about Polk City, if places like that, who already have a really good quality of life, you know, it's less expensive to live there. Mm-hmm. The energy is clean. The community is clean, good folks in all of these places. But if you don't have the infrastructure, the broadband rural connectivity, so that people can actually live, work, and play in that small town, then we're kind of shooting blanks, it would seem.
You hit the nail on the head. I can't say it any better than that.
Yeah, it is as important. And I've been on this bandwagon for years. Over a decade, broadband connectivity for rural America is as important as the TVA was, Tennessee Valley Authority, and rural electrification that we had in the 1940s and 50s. It is critical. Warren Varley is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and he is a candidate in Senate District 10. You have an interesting way in which you define your candidacy. Three words, I think they are. Well, maybe,
yeah,
maybe four, but what do you, how are you pinpointing this?
Well, you know, I'm running to carry on the tradition of public service that was set by my father, Andrew Varley, who's Speaker of the House and Chairman of the Iowa Utilities Board. And I've kind of settled on C words in terms of the theme of my campaign, community, compassion, and common ground. And you mentioned a fourth one. I was, whenever I talk about community, I talk about civility. Mm-hmm. There is definitely a desire among the voters that I talk to for an end to the partisan bickering. And I think everybody understands, you know, what Abraham Lincoln said in the face of the Civil War, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I think there is a real concern about the partisan divide. And I think people are looking for someone who can sit down at a table and talk to different sides and look for common ground and bring people together where there is agreement and compromise is another C word that I would use. That I think my campaign represents a return to our normality and restoration of, you know, the civil compact, that we're all in this together, and people are very proud of their communities, whether it's the public school or their church or their civic organization. And we just need to empower that ability to work together And we'll all be better off that way. You know, that's what makes the United States great. And that's why I love Iowa, is because we have such a strong sense of community, compassion for those in need. And we are going to have to all pull together to meet the challenges that are ahead of us.
Warren Varley, ladies and gentlemen, the balm that does heal and soothe the strict division that we have in this country. You know, one of the things that I admire so much about you, Warren, is that is the two things that we started out with. You are not only a farmer, a person of the land, but you're also an attorney. And so those two qualities, I think those two qualities are so important when we take a look at how folks can calmly sit down, find common ground, and with compassion and a sense of community at the same time. Good stuff from you, sir. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We really do appreciate it. And we will have, of course, links to your website up on our radio blog. So, Warren, thank you. By the way, I saw a video of you and your mom. I understand she's supporting your candidacy.
She's my strongest supporter. She's out. She's 85 years old and scared to death of COVID. But in spite of that, every chance she gets, she wants to tell people about the campaign. So I appreciate that very much.
Warren, thanks again.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciated it and enjoyed it immensely.
Once again, that's the voice of Warren Varley, who's running for the Iowa State Senate in Senate District 10, a large swath of several counties. And we will, yes, have links to his website on our radio blog. Well, that wraps it for today. Thanks so very much for listening. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right this moment, well, that was arranged, composed, and conducted by our good friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Warren Varley, my name's Michael Libby. Have a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.